Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Vice President Kamala Harris will be on the road to Chicago and the Democratic convention. She's pitching her economic plan announced yesterday in North Carolina, as CBS's Nancy Cordes tells us.
Carolina, for example, since 2019, the price for a typical home has gone from something like $275,000 to nearly $450,000. That puts it out of the reach of most first-time home buyers. And so what Harris is proposing, first and foremost, is up to $25,000 in down payment assistance for first-time home buyers.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is expected in Israel today as talks over a ceasefire in Gaza may be reaching a critical stage.
He's cautiously optimistic.
We are closer than we've ever been. I don't want to jinx anything, but as my grandfather said, with the grace of God, good little neighbors, a lot of luck. We may have something.
The president was speaking in the Oval Office. While at the State Department, spokesman Vidhan Patel was also upbeat.
What we are focusing on now and what the talks are focusing on is working on the details of the implementation.
The talks in Doha will move to Cairo next week. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
There's a verdict in a deadly dispute between a white Florida woman and the black woman who died, CBS's Mark Strassman reports.
The defendant is guilty of manslaughter.
Susan Lorenz, guilty in the killing of neighbor A.J. Owens last year. Police say Lorenz had yelled at Owens' kids playing outside. Owens went to Lorenz's house to confront her. Prosecutors related how Lorenz fired once through her front door, killing Owens. The victim was unarmed. Lorenz told police she shot in fear. The all-white jury rejected Lorenz's claim of self-defense.
CBS's Christopher Cruz reports on an effort to stop deceptive car dealer practices.
The FTC says three Texas dealerships owned by Asbury Automotive, quote, systematically packed add-ons to purchases without consumers' consent, adding thousands to the price of their cars. The agency says in some cases, consumers were falsely told the add-ons were required, and it says black and Latino consumers were targeted. The FTC says black consumers were charged about $300 more for the same add-ons, and Latino customers about $200 more. The FTC says numerous consumers complained about Asbury's practices, saying they'd been charged for supposedly protective chemical coatings and service contracts to life and disability insurance policies.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm Terry Bell. A new digital resource could be a game changer for entrepreneurs of color in Southeast Wisconsin. August is Black Business Month. Here's Mike Mohn.
This year, several partners launched MKE Boss, which stands for Build, Operate, Scale, and Sustain. The digital platform links entrepreneurs of color with a range of resources, including lending and technical assistance. Self-Help Federal Credit Union's Pam Bell says for a lot of black and brown business owners, it can be hard on them to navigate the financial services sector.
Whatever that business is, whether it's food service and you're skilled in that trade, but how do I scale this? Breaking down how much it costs to, you know, create a product and how much do I need to put back into my business so that it's profitable and all of that.
The program's partners, including Self-Help, want to help these business owners shape their vision and establish more generational wealth in underserved areas. While this initiative is Milwaukee-centric, organizers hope to create a standard that serves as an inspiration for towns and cities elsewhere. Various rankings describe Wisconsin as one of the worst states for racial disparities. Another partner is the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation. Group President Wendy Bauman says beyond their assistance, government agencies can step it up by turning to minority-owned businesses for service contracts.
County, state, local governments, and all the things that they purchase. Money talks, direct purchasing from these businesses.
According to the Small Business Administration, 99% of U.S. companies are small businesses, defined as those with 500 employees or fewer. The BOSS program is funded by a grant from J.P. Morgan Chase. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, slight chance of a shower or thunderstorm, highs near 77. Tonight, some patchy fog, a low of 61. For Sunday, sunshine and a high near 81. Mostly clear, 55 Sunday night. On your Monday, sunshine and highs back to the low 80s.
Currently, 66 degrees.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Todd's in Chicago getting ready to cover the Democratic National Convention. So on our next show, tune in for coverage of the event.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
There it is, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, 855-752-4842. That's the number. Very quickly, if you want to call, it is Wednesday night. Educators amplified in the house. Teacher Joanna, though, no Teacher Hallie tonight. Teacher Joanna and anybody else watching on the Facebook, the Twitter X, the YouTube, you're like, Johnny's not there either. Yeah, Teacher Hallie, Teacher Johnny right now.
We've only had one of you for like five episodes in a row.
It's been... You know, it's the way it's summer. It's the end of summer and it's getting close to back to school. And so we'll be talking a lot about that. But yes, Teacher Joanna's in the house. Me, Jess, we're all here. That's all we ever need. I mean, come on, people. You can jump in. Hey, put in the comments. We said there are so many ways to participate in the show. Easily, though, give us a call, jump on. Hey, you're like, I can't talk to people on the radio. You don't have to talk to people on the radio. You're talking to Teacher Joanna and Tim and Jess. You know, come on, right, Joanna?
Yeah, I mean, Tim, this is just reminding me of old times. Like, how long ago did we start this whole connection?
And
it did used to be just, you know, it would be you conducting one interview. And we'll just feel nostalgic today. And I do, you know, I don't know if on your iPhone you get the memories that pop up.
Yes.
I got a memory that popped up today that was of the thunder snowstorm.
Yes.
Where we were rallying for the budget. Back in 2019.
I remember that.
Right. And you were, you know, so right. This will just be another time where it's you and I doing our thing.
Doing our thing. The other thing we're always doing too, Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company. They sued the state of Wisconsin to end its really crappy voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. People out there listening to that going, whoa, what was that? Hey, just think about it. If you're out there and you're saying, I'd like to have my business or what I do read on the radio like that. Hey, guess what? You too could be a sponsor of Busted Pencils. We got no problems. We love that. We would love to do more ads talking about that. And then the other thing, too, anybody else, we said, you know, you're watching on the YouTube, you're watching on the Facebook, you're watching on the Twitter X. You're also potentially listening on the Civic Media app. Remind people every night, make sure you have that, download that to your phone, because as Jess always reminds us, the sound quality, Jess, right?
Absolutely. However, right now, if you are in the Madison area, please switch to listening on WAUK. The Madison line is currently down. We just got a message about that.
So if they're in the app and they're trying to listen through the WMDX link. Right.
It's not going to come through.
It's not going to come through. So there you go. You can use the WAUK, the walk link, and that way you can tune in to hear, you know, Educators Amplified, Teacher Joanna in the house. Well, Teacher Joanna, it has. It's been a week now. And wait a minute. Good evening, my teacher friends from Sherry and Horicon. Got to put that out there. Good evening, Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
We love it when she lets us know that she's out there and she's not late tonight. We appreciate that, especially. So, all right. How about just a quick check-in, Teacher Joanna? We've been having lots of conversations, the politics that are going on, lots of politics. In fact, last night, election night in Wisconsin, pretty big, you know, a ballot constitutional amendment initiative came and was defeated. And this, when I first read that, it was like, oh, defeated. Defeated typically gets pointed out as a bad thing.
Right.
On this, this was like, no, this was a good thing. What do you know about defeating these two ballot initiatives?
Well, I know there was a really strong get the vote out effort regarding the referendum. And I think that people are really, I honestly, I think the Project 2025 stuff has like perked people up in terms of paying more close attention to what is coming forth on ballots. And so I think it did, it was rejected pretty handily. And I guess, you know, the majority of folks just don't want to see powers of our governor limited.
Yeah. I mean, this was essentially saying like, look, the governor, if you get money from the feds, we don't want you to have any ability to disperse those monies. We in the legislature would like to have that responsibility.
Yes, and a super like, active legislature that does so much more than gavel in and gavel out.
There we go, Jess. So it's like, no. Sorry, we're going to keep that power right exactly where it is and keep it there, you know. And then coming forward, so that was kind of like the big highlights last night. Coming up, though, Teacher Joanna, next week in Chicago, the Democratic National Convention starts on Monday. And here's the other thing. Civic Media will be bringing you top-notch coverage. Tune into your favorite station for hosts on the ground in Chicago and coverage for each night's keynote speakers. And I got to say, I am looking forward to hearing from Tim Walz.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we got to look back. It's like, man, we were just so happy last week. And I was wondering if Teacher Joanna, you're still feeling that kind of like, this is truly a real unique kind of like, this is the real deal of a teacher.
It is. And there was an article or some information that came out that made me really see it when they were talking about net worth.
Yeah.
And it was saying that like Tim Walz's net worth is like $300,000 or something like that. And that, you know, his biggest whatever is a heavily mortgaged Cape Cod home that they sold. And that was just really related fun. That was like real deal. It's like him and his wife are educators. So, yep, here's, you know, here's where they're at, you know.
Right.
And then it was just very relatable about like, yeah, I feel like this is more where Americans are at versus where many of our politicians are right now. You know, I think the other candidate has millions,
right?
You know, millions in the bank, millions in assets. And so that part just felt more relatable. And then the other part, though, is some of the attacks are just, you know, like they're also, I guess, sadly relatable, where I'm like, you know, we're so used to the teacher attacks. We're like, oh yeah, they're going to say this. And oh yeah, they're going to say that. But feeling still really good that his stuff is not, again, it's like us teachers where it's like, it's not partisan.
No.
It is just like, here's good policy.
Right.
Here's good policy for students. Here's good policy for families. And yeah. So, yeah, no, I'm still feeling excited.
I'm feeling excited. I'm still loving it. And I read a really great blog that kind of did the analysis of Tim Walz from the standpoint of saying, like, you know, looking at and saying, what does he support? Because in the past, we talked about this, particularly, you know, Democrats and Republicans have disappointed educators alike for a long, long time.
Oh, and so, yeah.
So the reality was going, okay, so what does Tim Walz, is this going to be another Democrat that, quote, supports public education? And it was like, no, they did a full contrast of going like, here's Tim Walz's position on, you know, high stakes testing. And guess what? Nothing there. It just kind of like makes the idea of saying like whatever kids need to do to show us that they know what they know, we need to accept that. So number, you know, not coming in with this kind of reform movement of putting this forward and continue to say like his accomplishments as an educator, the best way to, you know, to kind of say it's like, okay, he's been a coach, he's been a mentor, he's been there. But that whole idea, though, too, of bringing in universal breakfast and lunch for mm-hmm. all kids. I mean, that's the best illustration of going, that's what this dude is about.
Well, and that's just like in what I was saying, it's just good policy.
Yeah.
Like, we should meet the full range of students' needs while they're in our care. And so that's just an example of good policy. Something else that I was made aware of was his stance on vouchers. So I was reading this article where it said that, like, right, Democrats and his legislator were like, well, you know, we should at least give the Republicans a bone on this voucher thing. So maybe we can make it this way and that way. And one, that was just really illuminating to me mm-hmm. because I have suspected that that is what may have occurred in the state, you know, here in Wisconsin.
There you go.
And that, right, Tim Walz was like, no, there's no, yeah. there, you know, we don't play with this. We right. just need more funding for our public schools.
Yeah, and he just draws out that kind of a saying, like, look, and particularly where he grew up and where he taught, rural Minnesota, guess what? Vouchers, there's no choice. The choice right. is whether or not to fund fully the local public schools that are the foundation, the bedrock of democracy, the cornerstones of the communities, or send your money elsewhere. And sorry, that isn't really, that's no choice. So the idea of vouchers, no. That is code for defunding local public schools.
Right. And then being able to take such a clear stance, just understanding that we are in no position to negotiate away anything. Because right. we don't have, you know, it's like there's nothing, there's not enough as it is. And so that was just, you know, it's something that, again, is very relatable and that I can understand how it really helps.
Mm. Loving the help. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Wednesday night, Educators Amplified in the house. Teacher Joanna. The number is 855-752-4842. Hey, anything right now if you want to talk about it, but check this out. Teacher Joanna, it really is back to school. I got to hear what Teacher Joanna's got to say. More coming up.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL-HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL-HHS or the U.S. government.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I love it, Johnny Lupinacci, learning to fly. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842 is the number. A little bit of back to school, all kinds of stuff, though. When L.A. Tom, though, drops in talking about the truth, the importance of the truth. Johnny, you wanted to unpack this word lie in a better way or to help us understand. Drop it, man.
Well, for sure. And first, man, Aaron, nice job on the bumper music to Foo Fighters. L.A. Tom called in. Hey, Friday, L.A. Tom got to see the Foo Fighters. It was pretty awesome.
Really?
Called us, listened to the show from the Foo Fighters concert. And then called in Monday and we talked about it. And, you know, I digressed and spun into a whole thing about Dave Grohl's mom as a teacher and all the great work that he and other creative, you know, folks have done to speak about what school can and ought to be for all children. And so I thought, you know, little great choice of music tonight.
Yes, it is.
Aaron Strommer's on the boards. Hey, though, Tim, you know, you brought that up, that like there's a new lie. And it's a great way to sort of to unpack it a little bit, because we're in this moment when folks have talked about, I've heard, and I think our guest tonight and in her book unpacks this even more in context of how and what we can do as teachers and policymakers and leaders in schools. But just on an everyday level that we're talking about misinformation, disinformation, and this valuing of the truth. If we say, hey, that's a lie. That's actually not true, that this generation or this year or this past, you know, group of students under a particular administration are the worst performing academically ever. But there are measures and numbers that show that to be a outcome of the way that some of those measurements and those high stake tests label and say kids are not at level, right? We have talked about it, about proficient or non-proficient. And we talked about unpacking that definition with experts who both work on those tests, talk about how the data should be, you know, analyzed and what we should know about each report that comes out that gives a score for what level students are at. And I flippantly always said, hey, reality check, all of us discussing this technically had lower scores than the average right. of people that were the same age we were when we were in fourth grade or when we were in eighth grade. Like, they're scoring higher than many of us did, and we've done all right.
Yeah, we have.
But the way that those measures have been recalibrated constantly, but the language not necessarily changed. So we can label someone as not proficient, and we could say that 70%, you know, of a grade level of students in this nation are not proficient. That's the worst that we've ever been as a country. That's actually true in the language, but it's actually not true in the real context of comparing young people now to maybe what we were at the same age, or even eight years ago, 10 years ago, because we constantly change the measure to be that of a growth. And that's based in some different ways of thinking in terms of infinite growth and constantly like, hey, since the last group did this, let's push for the next group to do even more and even more. And we've been doing that steadily as a way to manufacture failure, but be able to say, hey, look, they're failing. So that the language isn't a lie. So let's say someone like a person running for president, you know, makes this kind of statement. Their statement technically isn't quite a lie. And then we fall into, hey, that's a lie. And they say, no, it's not, says right here. But, yeah. but we have to look at, we're in this era where there's asserted effort to distorting.
And say there's a distortion.
Yeah. And it's layered so that you're distanced, say you're running for president, you're distanced from that. It's not you. Now, in the case of this presidential election, it's really clear the lies are just blatant lies. I mean, it's kind of in a bad state. But I mean, like, this is true for people in the Democrat Party, right?
Oh,
the
Democratic
Party falls guilty to this often, too, is they get into this, the need for testing, the need for improving failing schools.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not lying, right? They're not being malicious about it, per se, but they're basing that on information that has been, you know, designed to be used in a particular way, because then as general public, we hear that and we say, wow, that many students are below proficiency.
Yeah.
And we think, man, that must be like a whole lot of fourth graders who can't read. Right.
Well, they're not even doing the proficiency on this one. What they're saying is the biggest academic declines ever. But Johnny, I know
that's loosely linked to these arguments that, you know, that children are doing bad.
Right. In schools, right.
And that, you know, and so even if you say, show me the evidence of that, right. There are arguments and evidence that I'm saying. So this is what I mean by, like, we have to believe in the truth, value it, not just in words, but in actions. Mm-hmm. And that's really all parties. That's researchers, that's experts, that's, you know, people in the media, people reporting on these things. And that extends beyond just education. We're dealing with, like, constantly now, well, I don't know, where's, I need to gather more information, or where did you get your information from? And there's plenty of that, what I'll kind of call, you know, shifting further from the truth. It's sort of like, it's not a blatant lie, but it's with acknowledgement, like knowingly using some sort of shady stuff.
It's a mental manipulation is what's trying to happen there. You're trying to, and again, it's fear. It's fear, which is what we keep hearing out this. You know, most crime, most illegal aliens, most illegal immigration, you know, biggest academic declines, because it's a fear narrative. And the reality, Johnny, too, we've talked about that. You know, are there academic declines since COVID? Well, on some literacy and some mathematics tests, standardized tests, they show some decline since the last time the NAEP was administered. Is that the biggest academic decline ever? No, it's not. But so, yeah, we just got to keep this out there. But I, you know, I figured I wanted to get that one out there now, because I just saw that's the new. And I'm wondering if this, you know, the biggest academic declines has been thrown into their kind of language this time as a counter to all of the positive public school kind of rhetoric that's been coming along with the pick of Tim Walz as the vice president, and hearing this kind of supercharged public education reemphasizing. And I saw an article today too by Jeff Bryant in the Progressive, who really laid out saying, is this the moment the Democratic Party actually recaptures education as the issue? And, you know, it's like, boy, that would be something amazing. I tell you what, Tim Walz, being the, you know, social studies teacher, coach, making social studies teaching great again, the idea of the Democrats reclaiming education, true education, not academic achievement, you know, not academic achievement, but public education as a bedrock foundation of our democracy. Man, I think that goes a long way. And so I can now just see why the Republicans want to start talking about academic declines, academic declines, academic declines, because you know what that really means. Public schools are stinky. Public schools are stinky. Public schools are stinky. Public schools are stinky. They don't want to hear about great public schools and the great efforts that people have been making to use public schools in a democracy. Johnny, you're going to take us out of this one.
I mean, yeah, we're going to have a great conversation. We've got an awesome guest coming up in the next segment. We're going to hear about teaching honesty, and it's going to be great. Stay with us when we get back.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
CBS News Brief. Vice President Harris released her new economic plan with affordable home buying prominent. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
What Harris is proposing is up to $25,000 in down payment assistance for first-time home buyers, with the most generous assistance to go to first-in-their-generation individuals to purchase a home or to live in this country.
Hurricane Ernesto is battering Bermuda. Eric Blake of the National Hurricane Center.
Ernesto made landfall on Bermuda. The maximum sustained winds are 85 miles per hour with higher gusts.
The Florida jury said guilty to white Susan Lorenz for killing her unarmed black neighbor.
The victim's family was emotional as the verdict was read.
It's a good step in the right direction. The jury did their job. Now it's up to Judge Hodges to do his job.
Lorenz faces a sentence of up to 30 years behind bars.
CBS's Mark Strassman reporting. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers beat the Guardians. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the team with the best record in baseball, the Cleveland Guardians, last night, 5-3. Milwaukee's Aaron Civale held his former team that traded him last year to Tampa to no runs through six innings. Manager Pat Murphy.
I think he's just been really, really solid. And he's, I told you guys, I love this kid, man. He's prepared as all get out, and he holds himself accountable. Yeah, when I had a rough start or two rough starts, he took on the accountability, you know.
NFL, Packers and the Broncos had their joint practice session in Colorado. Quarterback Jordan Love said the offense was challenged by the Broncos' defense.
There was a couple plays here and there that we missed. It just wasn't our best day productivity-wise, but, you know, it goes back to, you know, just being able to learn and grow from that. You know, seeing this new defense that we haven't really gone against, haven't got a scout, but we'll be able to go back, watch film, and, you know, learn from these opportunities.
The Packers and Broncos preseason game in Denver, 7 o'clock tomorrow night, with sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, slight chance of a shower or thunderstorm, highs near 77. Tonight, some patchy fog, a low of 61. For Sunday, sunshine and a high near 81. Mostly clear, 55 Sunday night. On your Monday, sunshine and highs back to the low 80s.
Currently, 66 degrees.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
It all starts with a question more than 75 years ago. Can hauling a fishing pole to the water hole be made easier? Bob and Bill Johnson find an answer, and the very first multi-section bamboo fishing pole is created. It's 1948. The brothers' invention also leads to the launch of St. Croix Rod Company in Park Falls, and it becomes the talk of the state. So do you know which fish is considered the prize catch in Wisconsin? Is it northern pike, bluegill, or walleye? The answer coming up. The St. Croix Rod Company continues to call Park Falls home, but now operates what is considered the most advanced facility in the country. The company offers more than 800 award-winning rods and reels, still being created as the answer to every angler's fishing question. So which fish is the prized catch? Walleye.
Yeah!
It's challenging to catch, delicious to eat. And this is not the one that got away, but is one true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Matt Nair on air.
We were talking about Donald Trump. He also said that he knows how to correctly pronounce Kamala Harris's name. He just chooses not to. And so I think that kind of opens it up for us to take some liberties.
Yeah. What would be your fix to the name?
Dave from New Berlin texting in Conald.
Conald.
Dump. Also, Calvin's was Donald Trump.
Who said there's a correct one?
Except, like, it's pronounced Kamala.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we're in Milwaukee getting set to board the train as we preview this week's Democratic National Convention in Chicago.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Yeah, there it is. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. 855-752-4842. If you want to be an educated educator talking education, you can give us a call. Our guest, Ty Marshall, he is one of the editors of the new book coming out from Rethinking Schools, Transgender Justice in the School. We're talking about also right now the preview, which really is in the Rethinking Schools magazine. So if you go to rethinkingschools.org to check out the website, you can pull up the current issue. And there are some pieces in there that are, as you were saying, Ty, are pulled from the book to kind of get people ready so that they can start to get ready to order the book and when it's going. Ty, I want to read, though, from this And then I want to get your reaction to this. I want to show students what steady self-love in the face of fear looks like, because we all face it. I want to teach my students that being trans means continuing to live into our joy and express our full selves despite backlash. A teacher in their full humanity and power can recognize the same in their students and demand better from their education system that dehumanizes all of us. That's Ty Marshall right there. Man, what comes, you know, powerful stuff, but joy, the word joy. Talk more about that whole idea of claiming that joy, because I think so often, because it's a serious issue, because it does happen, but the physical abuse, the bullying abuse, even to the point of the mental health toll of, you know, being trans in this part, you know, so much of the exposure when we, quote, want to delve into these issues, sadly, we talk about suicide and not joy. So how do you get people to move into that joy?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And one of the students, you know, in one of the classrooms as we were writing this book, was like, the only time I've ever gotten to study trans people in school has been to look at suicide statistics. And that is often where that introduction happens. Like, as, you know, in health class, it's like this difficult, hard thing, right? And I feel like, you know, there's a movement that I think, you know, we've learned from authors of color, teachers of color, about like, how do you pivot from like the character in the book is struggling, right? The, you know, the Black, the Latino, whatever character is their whole identity is struggle, versus like, they also are really good at soccer, or they are surrounded by love, right? Like, so that like casual diversity sort of shift, I think is a huge part of that. And I think, like, you know, the humanity piece in that quote you read, like, that's, I think, for me, at least as a teacher committed to justice, despite all that we've been through. I mean, I'm only in my eighth year, so I'm a baby as far as like the fights in education. But, you know, we see a lot of rollbacks of, you know, what we're allowed to teach about and what are the constraints on our time. And so ultimately, right, what we can do that is really powerful is be in a room with young people who are studying the world and want to change it and like feel like they are valued and they belong there. There aren't many places like that anymore. So
So schools and communities that are interested in creating these environments that, you know, promote steady self-love and queer joy. What are your recommendations to somebody who's listening to the show right now and saying, yeah, I don't want to talk about the horrible statistics as my introduction into this topic. I want to talk about the joy and the humanity. Yeah. I would say the first thing is what you're going to say, they should order the book.
Yes, please order the book. I mean, I do want to, I think there's a couple of really, yeah, joyful and expansive like curriculum options. The science teacher who writes a couple of the articles, Sam Long, is brilliant. And just, you know, talks a lot about how like gender expansiveness in the way you teach science, you know, touches on like the way that gender stereotypes or policing gender limits all of us, right? Like, even as a cisgender person, if you are constantly being critiqued about your gender expression, that's going to limit how you move through the world, right? Really famous with, you know, recently in the Olympics, the gold medalist boxer, the Algerian boxer in Maine, just, right, that restriction is going to hurt everyone. So yeah, there's some wonderful science examples of like expansion and how we talk about gender, and the other piece, like the resistance, the way we fight back against these laws, I think is another one that can give people a lot of a sense of hope, right? Like, we study resistance, so we know how to do it. So
there, what in the world? There it was. There's
that
bell.
Missed your reaction to the bell, Tim.
Jess, you know what that bell is. Democracy in action. Jess, what do you got?
Every day here on Busted Pencils, we take a minute to educate ourselves and remind ourselves of core democratic values. Today, we're highlighting two democratic values: life and the pursuit of happiness. And these are directly connected to Ty's work as an educator and with his work with Rethinking Schools and this edition of Transgender Justice in Classrooms. It is absolutely essential for the life of LGBTQ plus students that they are in welcoming environments, that they find places where they belong, people who accept them and love them and support them as they are. And that goes beyond the bare subsistence of making sure that their bodies are safe, into places where their minds and their spirits are safe and they can experience joy. So thank you so much, Ty, for being here. That's our democracy in action.
Jess, nice stuff there. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Our guest, editor of the new book, Transgender Justice in Schools, Rethinking Schools, 855-752-4842 is the number if you want to call and talk to us. Ty, you were talking, you know, the focus on one of the chapters in the book. Yeah, right now, tell a little bit more, too. Give me another highlight coming from the book. What can I hope for when this book arrives? What you know, and again, you're not going to be able to cover everybody, but let's talk a little bit about, okay, you know, so what else?
Yeah, I mean, I think other nuggets that are so wonderful, there's a couple of really great, really powerful personal stories in the first chapter about, you know, trans teachers, their experiences, and trans students kind of standing up and working to educate other teachers, particularly, yeah, there's a great article from Mihail Deitch about how their GSA students ended up teaching the whole school about pronouns and how to kind of respect their safety. And I feel like that is a outline for student power and kind of shifting the culture of a school. So definitely check that one out.
That's what, okay. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. How long did it take you guys to put this together, Ty?
It took about a year. And, you know, what I love about Rethinking Schools is it feels like it always starts with like a sense of community. Like I know you were sharing about Rethinking Columbus being your introductory point. And I think of Rethinking Schools, perhaps because I'm based here in Portland, where a lot of that editing and stuff is sometimes happening. I think of it as like, you know, we're gathered around a table, we're talking about our curriculum. And, you know, I actually came to Linda with like, I'm struggling in my classroom. And she was like, you know what? I have a project for you. And I was like, all right. But it truly ended up being a real lifeline to other really visionary trans teachers and kind of that sense of connectedness that, yeah, I really needed.
Yeah. So, and with that, and so we say Linda Christensen is the co-editor with you. And so just put that out there, co-editor of the book. When is the book, I think you said once, but you know, so right now I'm out there, I'm listening. What do I do? How do I get it? Where do I go? Tell me more about it, Ty.
Yes. So go online to Rethinking Schools. You can order the book. We're also reaching out to unions to try to encourage like folks to make a big order and do some study groups. I'll be kicking one off here in Oregon with our local PAT to try to think about like, you know, we built all this incredible power over the strike and what now? What do we want to do around protecting trans teachers and students, even in a, you know, a district like ours where we do have a lot of protections. You know, we still have to educate each other on those protections, make sure students know about them and can keep each other safe. So
think about the issue here, Ty. Again, what the backdrop with the political movement that's happening, that again, all of the anti-gay, don't say gay, don't say bathrooms, all of this, is there something that potentially as we come up to this school year, you're releasing the book. This is also a national election that we're going to be facing, the reality here that could have an impact potentially. Is there an excitement or a potential to say this might be a moment to maybe peel back some of this oppression?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, yeah, it is a moment to be trying to engage people in a sense of hope, right? And we haven't had a lot of that for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so I do think that I really believe in the smaller local examples that students can see of that power is going to engage them in, for example, wanting to vote and things like that. So, if they are working on, challenging curriculum in their own school that they want to see changed, right? That's like a little mini lesson in, what it might look like to ask a politician to, consider legislation, right? So I guess I think it's like a mirror of the bigger fights we need to have.
And that curriculum issue too, we bring that up too, because to start, because we're coming to a close, kind of ending where we started, this whole idea of instructional time that you introduced us to, Ty, in 2020, which was, look, Ty, transgender, sure, but you're a social studies teacher, and that's what you were hired to do, is teach social studies. And now, 2024, Transgender Justice, the book coming out, Rethinking Schools. I mean, now we're talking about instructional time in saying that issues of LGBTQ need to be put forward, not as an aside, but how do we make real instructional time for that? Maybe that's the last question for you. How do we make instructional time, Ty?
Oh man, I mean, you're so right. It's a national version of the same conversation we were having in 2020 and has been happening before that, about what's allowed in schools and what are we allowed to talk about. And I guess I would always come back to the more we can bring students' identities into the school and make space for them, the more powerful they're going to feel. And a lot of these issues, right, whether we're talking about race, whether we're talking about gender, if we as the adults in the building aren't willing to be vulnerable, be messy, and try and make mistakes, then the students aren't going to feel that same sense of safety. So whether it's your very first time, asking students on a little note card, what's your preferred pronoun, or it's your first time, acknowledging hey, I'm a white teacher and I'm going to mess this up, but let's try to talk about, whatever it is, those steps are incredibly important part of reshaping the instructional time of 2024.
Well, our guest tonight was Ty Marshall Jess, doing the snap, snap, snap on that partnership with Rethinking Schools and the new book coming out. We can order it by going to Rethinking Schools, the website, pre-order Transgender Justice in Schools. There's the link in the podcast that'll be there, and you can see it right now. If you're on the Twitter X, the Facebook, or the YouTube,
beautiful. You
can see the cover right now. Ty is holding up for all of us. Ty Marshall, thanks for busting pencils.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and there we go. You know what, Jess? I'm excited. We're going to chop it up. Hold on.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
The Democratic National Convention is in Chicago, and our team will be there to tell you what you need to know.
I'm Civic Media News Director Terry Bell.
And I'm Todd Allball, host of The Todd Allball Show. Count on us for important analysis, interviews, and the Democrats' nomination of their presidential candidate.
Live from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Listen for updates, plus special coverage at 6 each night. Find it on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I occasionally have nerve discomfort in my hands, so the things I love to do...
Let's play something, Grandma!
...became difficult as I got older.
If you have occasional stabbing and burning in your hands and feet, try Nervive Nerve Relief. Nervive's clinically studied dose of alpha-lipoic acid reduces occasional nerve discomfort in as little as 7 days with continued daily use. Say yes to healthy nerves with Nervive Nerve Relief.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Yes, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. We are back here. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci here with producer Jess.
Hey, yo.
Listener, if you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 855-752-4842. We're talking back to school. We're talking about building a classroom environment of students feeling welcomed, of them belonging, of engagement, not compliance. And Jess asked the great question, where do you start? And I give my long-winded version of start with yourself. Be well, know thyself. And we all do this differently. So when we get into the specifics of like how we have our classroom set up, the voice we use, the phrases that we use, the themes that we have, you know, the ways we connect the dots for our students, hopefully using current events, things they care about, you know, making learning meaningful and relevant to them and their lives. We have to learn their lives. And some of us, we got a little bit of an idea, but I would say don't ever assume we know and just go in with an openness and a readiness, right? And a confidence. And some of that confidence comes by practicing. So if you're like me and you're back in the classroom, setting things up, putting up posters, kind of decorating, you know, and having conversations like Jess and I are having about the music that we share, not only in the show, but with one another as we work. And I always have music in my classrooms. And that's one way I get to know my students is I ask them, hey, what are you listening to? What gets you pumped? What helps you focus? We do a whole little questionnaire around our favorite places. The first activity I do, Jess, I do in a classroom with all my students is that little questionnaire about what are they listening to? What's something they watched recently or they're currently watching that they really enjoy? It's a podcast that they're into. I try and get to learn about them through their interests. Mm-hmm. Right. And I study those for at least a week, like looking at either whether it was note cards or now I use Google Forms because they all phones in different ways to input that. But I also then begin to make a playlist and I say, hey, you can add to the playlist. We have our focus and study playlist. We have our build up energy. We have a wind down one. We have all kinds of different purposes.
I love that.
You can add to it. Now, for teachers out there, you got to think about, you know, I'm in a college classroom. Mm-hmm. I still have to think about, is it appropriate for everyone? And if there's a questionable song, you know, I say, hey, as a class, this is a song. I'm not here to censor. You're all grown because they are. I said, you got to, this is part of the decision you got to make. But as an elementary school teacher and somewhat in high school, although I let them choose the older they got, you know, You got to do some FCC kind of censoring like Jess has to do when I send her the band Propaganda. Because I did find a couple of songs that we can use because there's good message there. So, yeah, we're preparing those things. We're getting to know. And I like the very first activity. I almost do this with all ages. I say, I want you to think of a place that matters so much to who you are. A place that has had a significant influence on who you are today, about the person that's in our room sitting here getting ready to learn together, and draw a picture of it. And all my classrooms, then it starts with crayons and pencils and all kinds of stuff. And I give out an extra large size paper, 11 by 14, because we're going to make art to represent the places that matter to us. We do that, we share, we talk about it. Then we also, then the next day, have an activity where I say, okay, I want you to think of a person who has had a significant impact, a big influence on who you are today in this classroom. Like who you think of when I say, who's had a big influence on your life? Can be anybody. Can be good influence, can be a bad influence. They just come to mind. And write on the back of that big piece of paper we drew about the places we love, the places that have influenced us the most. They write about the person who's influenced them the most. Okay? We share those. We celebrate it. We keep it. We get it going. The next time we do this activity, we do an activity warm up. Next class, like, hey, let's get into it. Let's stretch out. Let's warm up. Okay? Something, not a human and not a place, that has had a big influence on who you are. They say, what do you mean? I say, something that's not human and not a place. And they say, well, can it be a dog? Sure. Can it be a tree? Sure. I mean, technically that could be a place too, but you know what I mean? Like some species other than a human that we're remembering can be anything. They say, well, can it be a sport? Sure. Can it be anything, right? And they write about that. And then one of the things we do is we begin to share that we are learners together, but we are also carrying with us the best and the worst of who have influenced us, the places we come from, the things that have had a big impact on us. And so we are not only individuals, but we are collective as a community. And so we really talk about what that means to be part of a classroom in that way, that we are not only ourselves, but that ourselves is a unit of measurement that we're here for. Right? But what does it mean to be here? And how are we always trying to be the very best of what's influenced us, even when some of those influences aren't always positive? So that's one of the little nuggets of the very first kinds of lessons I do.
That is so beautiful. And that just sets such wonderful groundwork for building that community and helping your students who are going to go on to be teachers to do that all important work of knowing themselves.
Well, and then I can connect the dots with those drawings and those writings. I can connect the dots to like the music they listen to. I got a good background and a base to which to get to know my students and to make connections to content. And for teachers out there, new teachers, we're always figuring this out early and it's a lot. But for veteran teachers, I know the math I'm teaching. I know the social studies. That's not me bragging, right? I just know the content. What I don't always know is the meaningful ways to connect it to the lives of my students. And getting to know them and being patient about letting them have space and prompts to open up and share what they want. I'm not forcing it. We're letting it fly. Hey, lots of exciting stuff this week. Oh, big show tomorrow. Rethinking Schools educator Ty Marshall talking with us about transgender justice in schools. Huge topic. Awesome work. Can't wait for that. Join us. We got an exciting week. This is Busted Pencils. Stay tuned.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Maggie Dawn.
It's the Democratic National Convention, everybody, and I could not be more excited. It kicks off with President Joe Biden, and I'll be joined by County Executive David Crowley.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Who is the toughest billionaire? I'm pretty sure I could take Warren Buffett. He's like 94. Elon Musk is the richest guy in the world. He's got like 200 billion bucks. Then Jeff Bezos.
I don't know how Jeff would fight.
What about Mark Zuckerberg?
No, that guy.
I'll say Bill Gates. He would probably take a dive.
Isn't Michael Jordan a billionaire now?
Okay, I would take Michael Jordan.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W22 AD P. Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.